Father, I want to thank you for this moment and for how you blessed our Sabbath school and church. And now I pray that this special hour, Lord, of the presentation from your sacred word would touch all our hearts and minds with your glory and majesty and make us better Christian Seventh-day Adventists who have a greater burden for the people out there who don't know. Lord, use me to present this beautiful subject in a way that's so simple that everyone understands. And thank you for providing for this spiritual nourishment, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hugh Latimer was the Bishop of Worcester. The king he served under at the beginning of his ministry was, of course, Henry VIII. And the dauntless courage of this noble servant of God was seen in his conduct towards Henry VIII. One New Year's Day, instead of carrying, according to the custom of the age, a rich gift for the king, he presented him with a New Testament, the leaf of which was turned down at the passage in Hebrews 9:13. That passage read, "Whoremongers and adulterers will be judged." For you see, Henry VIII had 6 marriages. And this might have cost Bishop Latimer his life, but Buff Hell, instead of being angry, admired the good courage of this godly man. What audacity this servant of God had, that he would go to the king, knowing full well that the Bible taught that John lost his head for rebuking the king's adulterous relationship with his brother's wife. What audacity. By the way, audacity is the willingness to take bold risks. Synonyms are boldness, daring, fearlessness, bravery, courage, heroism, grit. The title of the sermon is "What Audacity." I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Exodus 33, verse 18. Take your Bibles, everyone. Turn to Exodus 33. Children, I hope you have your Bibles. I want you to turn in your Bibles also to Exodus 33, 18. And I want to share another story from the Bible that shows incredible audacity on the part of one of God's children. And by the way, if it's in Exodus, you know who that person is, right? Who is that person? Moses. Yes, my wife says I'm looking like Moses. Only his was a lot bigger, but it was just as gray. Do you have it? Exodus 33:18. I claim to you that this was a very audacious thing for Moses to do. And Moses said, "Please show me your glory." Imagine the audacity of him to ask such a question of God. "Show me your glory." You know, Jesus has said no one has seen the Father at any time in the New Testament. But Moses had the audacity to ask that question. By the way, this was during the time of an extreme crisis. What audacity at a time of crisis that Moses would ask this question. Let's take a look what gave him the boldness to take a risk and be so daring and fearless as to ask God, show me your glory. So let's go to the first scripture in Exodus 32, 7 through 10 will give us the setting for this question that Moses asked God, this request that Moses requested of God. Exodus 32, here's the first one. We're going to look at six texts in succession. And this is all familiar to you, but when I'm done piecing this together, I hope you become audacious. Audacious, I should say. That you yourself will have such audacity. Okay? Here we go. 32 verse 7, it says in my Bible, "And the Lord said to Moses, go get down, for your people whom you brought up from the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them, and they have made themselves a molded calf and worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you up out of Egypt. And the Lord said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it's a stiff-necked people. Therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them." Man, let's take a look at this crisis situation. First of all, did you notice that God said to Moses, these are your people? Did you catch that? Did you catch that? Yeah, he said, Moses, get down there. Your people have started a mess. In fact, he said, you brought them out of Egypt. Is that true? Is that true? No, he didn't bring them out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt. And then he said, this people. God did not say my people. God did not say who I brought out. God did not say my people. He said, this people, your people, and you brought them out. God was mad. And then he said, now therefore let me alone that I may consume them, and I will make you a great nation. What a deal. How would you like God to say that to you? I will make you a great nation. Make you a great nation, you're going to be the king. But let's take a look at verse 11 and 14. And notice what it says. Then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people whom you brought up out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, with great power and great glory? And so God was offering to Moses, so to speak, the world on a plate, and Moses denied it. In fact, Moses reminded God of who did bring them out. Moses reminded God who the people really belonged to. And then notice verse 14, he said this. He said, so the Lord God relented of the harm which he said he would do to the people. Why did he relent? Why did God relent from destroying the Israelites? Because Moses interceded in their behalf. Okay, let's look at the second text, Deuteronomy 9:20. Perhaps you never connected these before, And I hope this gives you a little insight that makes it all the more interesting. One little verse in chapter 9 of Deuteronomy. I expect you get there rapidly, and I'm going to read it. It says this, "And the Lord was very angry with Aaron and would have destroyed him. So I prayed for Aaron also at the same time." And what did Moses do? He prayed for Aaron. And what did God do? He did not destroy Aaron like he had planned to do. Now remember, we're talking about what audacity. Okay, let's go to the third one. Exodus 32:26. Look what it says in Exodus 32:26. This is the same story. A little while later, it says, "Then Moses stood in the entrance of the camp and said, 'Whoever is on the Lord's side, come to me.' And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together to him." You're familiar with that? You know this situation. Remember, we're trying to figure out how Moses could be so audacious. Okay? And so in this third scripture that we're reading, we find out that he called the people who were on the Lord's side to come to him. Now, I want to give you a little insight here that'll perhaps make this story a little bit different. And that is this. Patriarchs and prophets clearly tell us that only those were cut off who persisted in rebellion. In fact, patriarchs and prophets does something even neater. The spirit of prophecy tells us beyond the Bible story that Moses said, "Those of you who sided with God from the very beginning, come to my right hand. And those of you who are involved in the rebellion but repented, come to my left hand." And patriarchs and prophets says only those cut off who persisted in rebellion. And Moses is starting to see a pattern. Okay, let's go to the next verse and check it out. 32:30-34. I'll get it straight. Ready? The story continues. "Now it came to pass on the next day that Moses said to the people, 'You have committed a great sin. So now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin.' And then Moses returned to the Lord and said, 'Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'Whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book. Now therefore, go lead the people to the place of which I have spoken to you. Behold, my angel shall go before you. Nevertheless, in the day when I visit for punishment, I will visit punishment upon them for their sin.'" How could Moses be so audacious? Audacious, not audacious, audacious. How could he be? How could he be? And in this fourth scripture, in this one short story, we discover that Moses makes it very plain to him that only those who sin against me will be blotted out. And Moses begins to think. Okay, the story continues. Text number 5, 33, 3 through 6, the next chapter. It says, "Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go in your midst, lest I consume you on the way. For you are a stiff-necked people." And when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. And no one put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, "Say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in a moment and consume you. Now therefore, take off your ornaments, that you may know, that I may know what to do with you." So the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments at Mount Horeb. And you remember, I think last week I taught you this. For example, in the New Revised Standard Version, and in the New American Standard Version, and in the Amplified Bible, it says, "Therefore, the Israelites stripped themselves of their ornaments from Mount Horeb onward." Onward. And you see, the issue was, if you missed it in verse number 4, that God was going to send an angel with them on their trip to the promised land. And Moses saw that God did forgive and was going to send them to the promised land, only he said, "I'm not going to go with you." And when the people heard that, they decided to do something very sacrificial. It's called obeying God even though they didn't want to. That's what it's called. And notice what happened. 33, the last one, folks, 12 through 14. How could Moses be so audacious? It says here in verse 12, "Then Moses said to the Lord, 'See, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and I have also found grace in your sight. Therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that you may find grace, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people.' And he said, 'My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.'" Can you say amen? Can you say hallelujah? Why did you wait so long? From the golden calf in which they stood up and did immoral things, God is now in their midst again, taking them to the promised land. Why? Because He's God. Yeah, He's God. It's something about our God that is very, very special. And Moses discovered it. And so he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And so I ask you, why was Moses so audacious? I'll tell you why. Because he said, "Let your glory pass before me." God said, "All right, I'll not only let my glory pass before you, but I'm going to tell you what my name is. My name is the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sins, and that by no means clear the guilty." And so Moses made, "and clear the guilty of the fathers, and visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that love me. No, excuse me, that's the commandment. Upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So Moses made haste and bowed his head towards the earth and he worshipped. How could Moses be so audacious? Because in this experience of events, he discovered the character of God. And what is the character of God? The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities, transgressions, and sins, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that love me. Now, don't. There I threw the commandment in again. The third and fourth generation. Brothers and sisters, how could he be so audacious? He discovered through these series of events the character of God is merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. But he also discovered that when the Israelites repented and took off their jewelry in this instance, God saw that they were serious. They made a sacrifice and God could then express His character that Moses figured out. How could he be so audacious? It's because he clearly saw that God's desire is to treat His children like His children. And if anything is to spur us to be more like Him and less like us, if anything is to encourage us to embrace Adventism at a time when the world is telling you that all this commitment is not worth it, not needed, it is the character of our God. And that's why we make the commitment to the teachings of this church and live the life of this church. And as we do, God will be even more merciful to us than He already has been. Folks, He is great. He is good. And we need to be bold. We need to be fearless. We need to be heroes. If you look at one of the definitions of audacious, or one of the synonyms, was a hero, bravery, courage, fearlessness, daring. Because we have a God backing us up. That's different from every other God that was ever invented or existed. Finally, do we need to be more audacious? What do you think? We do. The answer is yes. And in our scripture reading today that Gideon read to us, Paul said, come boldly under the throne of grace. He didn't say, crawl up on your hands and knees like a sniveling, frightened child and try to placate the anger of the God who lives in heaven. That is what the heathen God does to the people who worship Him. No, He says, come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace where we can receive mercy and grace to help in the time of need. And so Moses prayed for all of these different individuals during this series of events. And look at the outcome was that God was just and fair and the majority made it through that were faithful to God because God was faithful to them. We got to be faithful, folks. We really do. And we need to make sacrifices. Because when we do that, we're showing God that we trust Him. to make up the difference. Well, let's go back to Latimer. Perhaps you didn't know the outcome of Latimer's ministry. Hugh Latimer became an influential people for King Edward, who was the son of Henry VIII. He was renowned for his work, especially visiting in the prisons. But when Mary, King Edward's sister, became Queen of England, she worked to bring England back to the Roman Catholic Church. Latimer was burned at the stake, and Nicholas Ridley was burned with him. And it is reported that Latimer said to Ridley, while they were being burned, "Play the man, Master Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." What audacity, what commitment, what boldness. Friend, let's be like that. But only if we get to know Jesus and understand His character will we be spurred on to be more like Him and not like the world. And so it's time to be very audacious. Let's pray. Father, I pause to pray for every person in this sanctuary. And though I move through those scriptures rapidly, Father, I pray that everyone go home and read 32 and 33 and 34 of Exodus. And then they take their patriarchs and prophets and read it. And see that when sincere individuals come and petition your throne, great mighty things happen. And that we will become a church that petitions more and more and more. And in so doing, seeing and experiencing your character, we'll be more and more like you. Bless each one. Don't let anyone here be discouraged, Lord. Let them know that you have a plan and a hope for each individual who's here today. And that if we just trust you, you'll bring it to pass. So bless us now. And thank you for always hearing and always answering, because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.